The Reverend Mark A. Thompson spent half of his life as a journalist and political activist in the Washington, D.C. area before relocating to New York City in 2010. He's a civil rights leader, political organizer, and an analyst, a radio and TV commentator, and the host of Make It Plain with Reverend Mark Thompson. He recently spent some time with the protesters at Columbia University. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
Good morning, man. I'm fine. How are you? Glad to be on board with you again.
Absolutely. Great to see you. I saw you yesterday. I think you were on the campus of Columbia University. Tell me, what was the environment like when you got there?
Well, first of all, I went there Sunday, and the environment betrays the current media narrative and the narrative of some who, frankly, are just against the protest movement. It was very peaceful. First of all, the campus is pretty much locked down. You can't get on there. I was able to get on there as clergy because, as some may not be aware, Columbia has other affiliated schools. Barnard College for Women. Actually, wanted my daughter to go to Barnard. She went to Morgan State, which is fine. Morgan State is great, and she's okay. And then Union Theological Seminary is also affiliated. So the students at Union wanted to have a Sunday worship service there. And I went there to participate in that. And it was a beautiful service. It was peaceful. It was calm. And frankly, my brother, I started to feel my age. Because there were people up there younger than my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are babies. They're not hurting anybody. These are literally children.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it reminded me of my student protest history. Going back to when I was 18, we got Georgetown to divest from South Africa. But it was just a beautiful and peaceful experience.
Yeah, you know, we did the same thing at the University of Texas in the 80s. We were trying to get the university to divest from South Africa. Now, I am glad that you started that way and that the narrative that's placed on TV is not really the same. You know, they make it seem like the campuses are a war zone and that one of our Jewish brothers and sisters just can't walk across campus. Is that really the case, or is that more of a propaganda thing to try to gain back the narrative of what we're seeing occurring in what Netanyahu is doing in Gaza?
Well, what I saw at that moment was completely calm. But I am aware there are some isolated instances of anti-Semitic harassment. Anti-Semitism exists against
Jews. It's real, yeah.
It's real. But to generalize and say these students and this student movement is doing that is not accurate at all. That's not an actual reflection of what's really going on. I have a colleague whose daughter was a student, a freshman at Barnard, and she ended up having to leave campus because of some of the nasty notes that were left under her door. So you're going to have, we've always had provocateurs in the movement, but the general spirit of the students I saw Sunday, those who are at the encampment on campus at Columbia, was very peaceful and very nonviolent.
Now, it's interesting because I saw her on the news with you, Ursa Hersey, who is Ilhan Omar's daughter. I think she was released. She got suspended from the school you were talking about, Barnard, right?
Yeah, she got suspended. Now, we actually weren't on together. She was on with Mariam Alwan. I was on with Mariam.
Okay.
Irsa was on with Mariam, and then Mariam and I were on together. Yes.
And okay. They cut into it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They showed a clip. You're right. You're accurate. There was a clip with Irsa on there. Now, both of them have been suspended.
Right.
And
is that justified?
No. As a matter of fact, there was so. They were arrested. Check this out. It's a little confusing, so folks, I'm going to try to explain it. Follow along with me. Just show you how ridiculous this is. They were arrested. Mariam and those at the encampment were arrested for trespassing. And because they were arrested for trespassing, they were suspended. Well, you can't trespass
Yes.
unless you're not supposed to be there, and you aren't trespassing unless you're already suspended. So they kind of got it backwards.
Right.
Should have suspended them, then arrested them for trespassing. I mean, if you want to follow the logic, there's
Right.
no way to do it. But yeah, they. So it, you know, if I were an attorney, I'd be all over that. Wait a minute, how you gonna have him arrested for trespassing? Alberto, what president of any university in the history of universities and student protests, let me just ask your audience this question too, has ever survived calling the police on their own students?
I don't think any. I
Name
watched.
one, who kept their job?
No,
One.
I don't think it ever happened. It never happened.
So, you know, when people start doing that kind of stuff, I have to say, this is an intelligent woman, supposedly, London School of Economics, IMF World Bank. That's her pedigree. That's where
Yes.
she's, which raises some other questions. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
And, she's been titled a baroness by the royal family. Okay, let's just look at that. So at a point, I'm getting wonder, and I say this to people, you know, as you get older, we look at things differently, Alberto. I'm wondering, well, maybe she's looking for some kind of severance settlement. Because you call the police on your own students, you're looking to get out of there and you want them to pay you so you can just go into retirement. That's just me.
Yeah, let me just let the audience know. We're talking about Minushe Shafik, the current president of Columbia University, who called the cops on her own students for a protest that really was never violent.
Never was violent, and it was not trespassing. It's amazing. Who does not know about the history of student movements in this country? It did not reach the point of anarchy. And if people wanted to do their due diligence, they could draw a very clear distinction between the movement that is the encampment in Colombia versus any bad actors or provocateurs. And now this has only made it worse. Within 24 hours, NYU, MIT, Yale, University of Michigan, expect this to spread at HBCUs. Right now, as we speak, there are negotiations around Joe Biden's speaking at Morehouse commencement, and we think he may have invited himself, because that's what you can do that when you're
right.
You don't know, when you're the president, you call and say, I'm coming to speak at commencement. It's not really, it's not always a request. You can just kind of do that, and
right?
People give you that, you know, because nobody expects you to say no. But that's the problem, and it also shows how out of touch the well-paid consultant class is in terms of advising Joe Biden and the Biden campaign. Why would you put yourself in a position to be embarrassed to be asked not to come to Morehouse commencement? Why would you even put that out there? You don't even realize that there is a student movement that is growing. And if Joe Biden's not careful, he's going to hand this election over to the Bibi Netanyahu of America, Donald Trump.
Right. You know, it is interesting because it is concerning to me, the entire reaction around the country. We had where Asna Tavassum's speech was canceled. She's a valedictorian at USC. We have several instances now where it seemed, first of all, as you said, anti-Semitism is real. And likewise, there are provocateurs that are going into the movement as people go into every movement. My concern is whether there is an orchestrated effort to silence folks, what we're seeing now, a concerted effort to silence folks. We have on News TV today, Scott, I know you know who Scott Galloway is. Scott Galloway was attempting, a professor at NYU, was trying to equate, well, the 2500, first of all, we condemn Hamas. There's no doubt about it. We condemn Hamas. What Hamas did was a bad thing. We have these folks that came out and said now that, well, look, the United States after Pearl Harbor killed one, you know, whole several hundred thousand people. So Israel's kill ratio is not all that bad anyway. How do we go ahead and sensibly make these types of comments on national TV?
Yeah, that was sickening. To do that and to start, you know, using numbers or you know, to try to do math on which is a greater amount of killing. This is the issue. See, because, and again, if you're a journalist, you ask the right questions. So what are you saying? All these 30,000 some odd Palestinians are Hamas? Is that what you're saying? No, they aren't. And so to kill innocent civilians, I mean, there are the civilians that were killed in Japan was that was wrong. Any killing of civilians is wrong. So to justify past killings of civilians, to justify current killing of Palestinian civilians because civilians were killed in the past, that's just absolutely wrong. And so we've got to continue to make the call that's been made for a ceasefire, for an end to this. And of course, we all decry Hamas. First of all, it's interesting that people want that to be the greater statement more than the defense of Palestinian civilians. Well, Egberto, none of us, how many people do you know? How many people do I know? How many people does anybody listening now know who was ever a Hamas fan in the first place? You condemn stuff. Sometimes you condemn it at the proportion to which you were involved in it or condoned it in the first place. Who ever condoned Hamas? Nobody. So for us to be held to account, what about Hamas? What about Hamas? Well, it ought to be understood. The whole world is against Hamas. Nobody, I don't know any Hamas, I don't see any Hamas fan clubs on Instagram. I don't know anybody involved in that. So you doggone right. But that does not justify the covering up, or the minimalization, I should say, of the countless number of Palestinian civilians that have been killed. And so to try to say that there has to be an equivalent denunciation of Hamas, equivalent to the denunciation of Palestinian civilians, I mean, it's understood. And frankly, it begs another question. The notion that because of the color of my skin, or because I support the Palestinian people, or because I want a two-state solution, or because I support nonviolence and human rights and justice, to generalize and say, well, that also means you might support Hamas. Then what are we really doing there? What are you saying? That goes back to the trope that those of us who are people of color, those of us who, as Howard Thurman would call, the disinherited, people of color, people who are disenfranchised, people who are dispossessed, people who stand for human rights and justice, are themselves inherently violent and terrorist. So, it's a larger question. Let's just blanket everybody with the terrorist trope. Or the terrorist veneer.
Or even the anti-Semitism trope. And I, like I said, anti-Semitism exists, but I think what I see a movement that's emerging, they're attempting to make, they're emerging to stop you by making one believe just by disagreeing with or agreeing that there must be a ceasefire makes you an anti-Semite.
Oh, and it absolutely does not. And so I support these students. I'm probably going to join them some more. And just, this reactionary. So, last night NYU had faculty arrested.
I heard, yeah.
Now I'm going to say something else too, y'all. Wait a minute. So we got to look at the whole picture. Is this really just about what's going on in Gaza and in Israel? Huh? So who benefits from this? When October 7th happened, of course we decried what Hamas did, but immediately, and I can't help it, man. I'm just a political animal. First place I went was back to 1980, Alberto, and what happened with Jimmy Carter.
Right. Wait. When what Reagan did as well, right?
Hello.
Holding the, yes, thank you.
Right, and so that and it cost Carter the election. So I'm looking. But now that this has escalated into the movement in the streets, now I'm thinking about 1968 and LBJ. And the well-paid consultant class gets paid billions, but I don't get paid. I'm doing saying this for free. There is an element in this, including those, because now there's a relationship. When we're talking about relationships, there is less of a relationship between these students and Hamas. Far less of a relationship than there is a relationship between some of the people who are trying to project anti-Semitism and harsh tactics toward these students, they those individuals have more relationship with Christian right-wing Zionism and nationalism. And who do Christian right-wing Zionists and nationalists support? Donald Trump.
Right.
So you got to have something to mobilize that base. Right now, they can't mobilize the base. There's nothing going on, and they're on the ropes. So let's create a foil. Let's create something to mobilize our base so that we can get more of our voters out to vote for Trump, because otherwise they're not coming out like they want to. Trump can't even campaign. He's in trial. He's in court. So we got to campaign for him by creating this trope. That's what's going on. And there's a nexus, Trump, Putin, Netanyahu. And that's what we have to be concerned about as well.
And you know what's interesting? You wonder sometimes if some of the people on the inside with the president, the current president, doesn't really have his best interests at hand. After all, you know, we have become complicit. I mean, we just signed a big war bill, and we never said, well, these bombs that we're giving you cannot be used against people in Gaza. None of that kind of restrictions on it. But anyway, before we close, there are a lot of other tidbits that I'm seeing out there. Google just fired 28 people for having a sit-in to complain about a $1.2 billion contract. I mean, we see a lot of these tentacles going out in different areas that if you have any objections whatsoever with what Netanyahu is doing and you complain or you raise stakes about it, that you pay a price for it. It seems like that is a real movement that is growing right now. And it seems like these students are just a pawn.
That is the movement. And, you know, again, you know, you look at the forces that are pushing that. What is their real agenda? This is a righteous movement. This is a lot like the Vietnam War. And that couldn't be stopped. And those who tried to stop it, LBJ, Nixon, others, paid a heavy political price.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't quite get it. And it's look, we can't have Trump. But if this continues, if the reactionary and the counter-revolutionary forces continue to attack students and young people and people's rights to speak out against human rights, and if Gaza and the people of Palestine continue to get bombed mercilessly as civilians, I don't know how people vote. What are they going to do? What are people going to vote for? And we know Vietnam cost LBJ, and we got something worse than Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
This is history repeating itself, and it's tragic because it's almost as if the Biden administration, or the White House, or the DNC, or the party, the campaign, is okay with that. And it's very, very scary. If Trump gets back in, it's going to be worse for the Palestinians. It's going to be worse for the world. Marriage equality will be gone. The revocation of Roe will be codified into law, a national abortion ban. These are things that we have to be. DEI is practically gone already. Affirmative action, no more. We'll be living under the same autocracy that other countries, including Israel, are living under now. Can't have that. So this has got to be fixed. The anarchists are not the students. The anarchists are those who are prosecuting this war against innocent civilians and punishing those who are speaking out against it. Those are the anarchists.
We should be careful as well. You know, when you have a Jamie Dimon out there saying, hey, Trump may not be so bad after all, you know we have a problem.
Yeah.
We have a problem. Anyway, any closers for me, Mark?
No, just on a side note, I'm thinking about going to the trial and maybe watching some of that and listening to it. I'll let you know. I'm seeing.
I want you to send me when you get out there, you gotta be in touch with me and send me some of that info, man.
The only thing to get us off of this other thing, can you imagine, Egberto, if they had cameras in this courtroom, it would be bigger than OJ.
Yes.
I mean, people would be calling in to work, like, you know, especially everybody watching this. I mean, this is salacious. Dude, you paid to hush the story about a porn star.
Two.
I mean, you're running for president. Who can do that? And he's in there falling asleep, and allegedly they say he's falling asleep and farting out loud.
Yes.
I mean, dude, this is wild. This is absolutely wild. I mean, I don't even... we've never seen anything like this, man.
Look. Mark, thank you very much for your time. Folks, this is the Reverend Mark A. Thompson, the host of... I always get the name of your thing wrong. Make It Plain with Reverend Mark Thompson podcast.
You always get it right. I've never heard you say it wrong. You good, man.
I have to think about it. But anyway, thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right, my friend. Peace.
Thank you, my brother. Love you, man.
Love you too, man.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.